Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room, and a happy 2024 to you. This is the first one of the new year. Of course, we're all excited to get some fights back on our Saturdays. It seems like it's been a long time since I've been sitting talking to you guys. So I hope you had a good break, and I hope you're ready to get into some good fights in 2024, because, my goodness, the schedule is starting to fill up already. Okay, this episode is about Johnny Walker against Magomed Ankalaev, the rematch. The first one was kind of a bit of a weird ending. For whatever reason, Magomed Ankalaev has some of the strangest endings to his fights. You know, what with the last second submission with Paul Craig and the Iwan Kutalaba pretending he was unconscious. And I mean, that brings me on to a point that I was going to discuss later, but the whole Johnny Walker taking a shot to the body and pretending to be hurt. Was he pretending? Was he really hurt? I'm going to come back to that in a little while, because I think it's an interesting talking point, the idea of like playing possum and, you know, trying to draw your opponent in. Obviously, Kutalaba decided that was going to work against Ankalaev. I very much feel, and obviously leave your comments in the section below to let me know what you think, but it looked to me like Johnny Walker was pretending to get Ankalaev to rush in. And if that's the case, then, well, what we do know is Johnny Walker's a better actor than Iwan Kutalaba, because it didn't convince Magomed Ankalaev, but it did convince the referee. So anyway, that's a different conversation for a bit later on. This is an interesting rematch. Of course, Magomed Ankalaev is a very scary individual in this weight category, but I also have to remind everybody how dangerous Johnny Walker is as well. And unfortunately for him, he had this very quick rise where he stopped a few people and he looked spectacular. And of course, he's very big for the weight class. And that's always something that, you know, especially when John Jones was back around light heavyweight, it was a conversation about, well, what if we find someone that's as big or bigger than John Jones in the weight class? So there was a lot of interest around Johnny Walker. And then, of course, he had a bit of a rough streak. He's been stopped a couple of times. And unfortunately, and I don't know whether it's down to the fact that he's so tall, but when he does get hit and hurt, it does look more dramatic sometimes. Like, you know, you think back to the Jamal Hill fight where his legs stiffened and stuff. Like, unfortunately, when there's a knockout that's kind of unusual or different, or, you know, stands out in your mind, it tends to replay much quicker than the highlights. Now, Johnny Walker's very, very unpredictable, very explosive. And there was a transition in his career where when he moved to SBG, you could tell that the coaches there had tried to kind of settle him down a little bit and try and help him utilize his physiological advantages, because he does have many. But there was also clearly quite a small adjustment period before he started to pick back up again. And I very much feel like this second version of Johnny Walker is going to be a different problem. Having said that, Magomed Ankalaev, I still don't know, as we've seen the best performances from him yet. Okay, quick tale of the tape first. So, for whatever reason, UFC Stats has got Magomed Ankalaev's record slightly different to Wikipedia. So, Wikipedia and everything else has got it at 17-1-1. Johnny Walker, 21-7-1, no contest. Of course, average fight time is going to be shorter for Johnny Walker, because he is very explosive. For whatever reason, he's got like three or four fights in his record where he's landed exactly 17 strikes. That seems to be a sweet spot, around 15, sort of 13 to 17 strikes. That's where he tends to do his best work in the early rounds. He does work fast. He is very dangerous. He is very unpredictable, and unpredictable to the point where I don't even know necessarily that he knows what's coming next. Which has its benefits as well as its drawbacks. And I think that's where, when we saw him move to SBG and we saw that kind of change in his pacing, I feel like that was the adjustment period where he wasn't really exactly sure when to apply the chaos. And it became a little bit, you know, he was second guessing himself for a moment, but I feel like he has discovered that again now. And I feel like now it's got more of a foundation. He feels more confident to try things. And, you know, of course, that's got to be measured against Magomed Ankalaev. But I do feel like unpredictability is going to be a big key in this one. Because, see, for Ankalaev, he does give up height and reach. So go back to the tail of the tape. So Ankalaev is 6'3". Johnny Walker is 6'6". So there's a 3-inch height advantage. But there's also a 7-inch reach advantage. And we know how quickly Johnny Walker likes to travel through distance. So, you know, he could be well outside of Magomed Ankalaev's striking range, decide that he's going to go leaping into range with a flying kick or a flying knee, and then follow it with a plethora of punches, all of which are going to catch Magomed Ankalaev before he can reach Johnny Walker on the way in. That's really problematic. So Magomed Ankalaev has to really kind of take the initiative and put Johnny Walker under pressure. Now, tall people are very problematic in MMA, but the best thing to do with a tall person, with a big person, is to take their space away. Make their height and reach feel kind of cumbersome, like there's not enough space to express it. Especially when someone like Johnny Walker, who is very explosive, he likes to have space to build up, space to, you know, create an attack that utilizes the space in the octagon. Magomed Ankalaev, he is very good at closing people down with a nice tight southpaw stance. He does have good hands, good basic counters. He tends to lean away, counter with his left hand, or check right hook. They're two very, very common weapons that he uses. He's also got a very good stabbing rear kick with his left leg. Stabs it into the midsection, which also couples very well with his turning kicks to the head and body. He uses that stabbing midsection kick to hide those three techniques very well. So there are certain things that Magomed Ankalaev can do very well to pressure Johnny Walker whilst not really opening himself up too much. Of course, he's got to be expecting the flying stuff and the chaos, but something else that Magomed is going to probably be up against in this fight is going to be the low kicks of Johnny Walker. And Walker likes to really throw hard. You know, if he's throwing a kick, he's putting all of his power into it. And he is a very big individual. You know, even compared to these other light heavyweights, Johnny Walker's a big human being. If he throws something with power, no matter what it lands on, it's going to hurt. And if you think back to the Ankalaev fight against Jan Błachowicz, when he was taking those low kicks, you could see the effect they were having on him. If I'm Johnny Walker, I'm seeing that fight and thinking to myself, okay, this is something that I can really utilize, especially because Johnny Walker's got such a good kicking game as it is. Very good at range, very good at, you know, managing the distance and space between him and his opponent with his kicking range, because he can generally reach them being taller and they can't reach him. What haven't I talked about? So, when it comes to the grappling, now, of course, Magomed Ankalaev, when you think of this guy, you think, okay, wrestling, grappling. Yes, he can wrestle. Yes, he can grapple. He's got great back control, wrist control, but no submissions on his record. 17 wins on his record, 9 by knockout, no submissions. Johnny Walker, 21 wins on his record, 16 by knockout, 3 by submission. He's got 2 rear naked chokes and a guillotine. Earlier on in his career, with one rear naked choke and a guillotine, but then, of course, we've seen that more recent rear naked choke over Kutalaba. Now, I wouldn't be surprised in this fight if Magomed Ankalaev is controlling the center for the majority of the time. If Johnny Walker's kind of forced to work in that space up against the octagon wall, in between that little, you know, the line on the inside where he's kind of pressured, but at the same time, Ankalaev's giving him a little bit of respect, so he's not pressuring him too much. And this is where Johnny Walker's probably going to be able to chip away at him and command some respect, but at the same time, not have the full run of the octagon. At some point, I could definitely see Johnny Walker hitting Magomed Ankalaev with something and hurting him and winning a scramble where he takes his back. It's very, very unlikely that Johnny Walker, in my opinion, and I'm very up for being surprised, as you know, I would be surprised if Johnny Walker comes out and pushes a grappling exchange to try and take Ankalaev down and to, you know, to hold him and control him and beat him up on the floor, unless Johnny Walker's really been working on something special in his game that is going to surprise us. That would probably be a good waste of energy. It would be a, you know, especially because he's felt Magomed Ankalaev in that range. He knows how strong he is, how good he is at bearing down on his opponents. It would most likely be a waste of energy for Johnny Walker if he tried to grapple Ankalaev. But if he's able to say, you know, Ankalaev's in on a takedown up against the fence, and Johnny Walker's hitting him with hammer fists or with those short elbows to the side of the head. And you see Magomed Ankalaev go limp for a second. Johnny Walker might surprise you and spin around and take his back. I feel like that might be a scenario where Johnny Walker knows that he can capitalize. Moments in Ankalaev's career where he has looked, where he has looked vulnerable, very, very few and far between. But of course, it's the fast workers that are going to do it, like Paul Craig with that triangle. You know, very, very little amount of time in the fight, snapped on that triangle very quickly and, you know, squeezed the life out of him. Johnny Walker can lose the majority of the fight and steal it in a second with something spectacular and fast and powerful. And I feel like now he's got, a lot of smart minds around him, people anchoring him into a more, a more directed game, perhaps, not losing that unpredictability, which is really a key for him, but allowing him to see the possibilities of finding the easiest route to victory as opposed to the taking a more risky route, perhaps. You know, save the flamboyance for the post-fight celebration. But again, you know, with the caterpillar, every time I see him do it now, I think he's going to dislocate his shoulder. What haven't I said? So for Magomed Ankalaev, although we don't see any submissions on his record, that doesn't mean that he might not choose to grapple. Especially if Johnny Walker's commanding the space very well and he's very mobile, and Magomed Ankalaev, you know, if Johnny Walker lands a good few low kicks, inside low kicks were really bothering him against Jan Błachowicz, as well as, of course, when he switched stance, the calf kick was problematic for him as well. So if Johnny Walker's able to do some damage to the legs of Magomed Ankalaev, then we may see Ankalaev choose to wrestle. He was having success, of course, in the last fight in that position, controlling the wrist from behind and striking up against the fence before, of course, he threw that knee. And that was a really awkward and unusual situation. I mean, I do really feel like there has to be some kind of forgiveness for a misunderstanding in that moment, because Johnny Walker was clearly, he was all right. Straight away, he was, you know, he was talking to Ankalaev like, dude, like, I'm clearly on the floor. It was unfortunate. But then in this circumstance, it's the same with Ankalaev when he fought Kutalaba. It's an interesting circumstance because they kind of started the fight and then they had to leave the arena and go away and spend, you know, a whole chunk of time thinking about that moment that was inconclusive and, you know, what did they get from that? You know, what does Johnny Walker remember from it? This is why I circled back to the conversation around playing possum, because it's a weird thing. What I wrote down here to remind me to talk about it is possum on body punch, ? The risk of giving confidence. And what I mean by that, if you think about the way that fighters often approach a fight, right? If I'm fighting the vast majority of my opponents, I want to do something in the opening moments of the fight to do something to shake their confidence. That can be any number of things. That could start at the weigh-ins with a getting in their face and showing them how physically strong you are after you've weight cut. Or it could be, you know, to start very quickly or to not engage for the first 90 seconds when you're normally a fast starter to make them feel uneasy. There are lots of different things that you can do, but the purpose almost always is to do something to undermine the confidence of your opponent in the fight. Undermining the confidence of an opponent is a really valuable asset to any fighter, no matter what they're doing. And some fighters do it automatically. Some fighters don't need to think about it. They just kind of have that presence. But the idea of playing possum is almost counterproductive. It's like you're going all in on a hand that you don't necessarily know is going to win, because in that moment, what you're doing is you are giving energy to your opponent, right? Confidence is energy in a fight. And sometimes confidence becomes overconfidence, which can then lead to problems. Like, one of my favorite ever finishes in the UFC was Pete Sell against Scott Smith, when Pete Sell landed a hook to the body on Scott Smith, and Scott Smith was really hurt and he went down, looked like the fight was going to be over. Pete Sell got all excited and ran in and bang, ran straight onto a punch and got knocked out. And then Scott Smith fell to the floor and obviously was in agony from the body shot. But it was the overconfidence in that moment of, Scott's of Pete Sale going, oh my goodness, I've landed the fight finishing shot, and he ran in. And in that scenario, Scott Smith actually wasn't playing possum. He just amazingly managed to muster enough energy to get himself back up to his feet for one more very, very meaningful punch. But when you are playing possum, and you know, and this, we see it happen sometimes and it doesn't work. Like Fabricio Werdum was never very good at selling things. If you go back and watch Werdum against Mark Hunt, you'll remember Werdum getting caught with a shot that didn't really land, and Mark Hunt knew it didn't land. But Werdum kind of goes down like he's been knocked over, hoping that Mark Hunt's going to run into Werdum's guard. And obviously it didn't work. You know, sometimes there's a benefit to playing possum. But the reason why I'm circling back to this is because it may well have worked out for Johnny Walker in that moment. He may have fainted a body shot, had Ankalaev running, and then of course he jumped up to try and land that flying knee, which didn't land. There's a real risk, because even if it doesn't land, Magomed Ankalaev still gets the same boost of confidence from it. And often I feel like it's an interesting card to play. It shows that you've got a real confidence in knowing your opponent to go, okay, I'm going to give you some confidence, hoping that it gives you overconfidence and it backfires on you. We'll see what Johnny Walker does playing in this fight, because I feel like eventually some you know, those games are going to run out against Magomed Ankalaev, and it's going to cost somebody. He's a very, very dangerous individual. I feel like Ankalaev is going to be able to control the center and do a lot of damage, but it's going to be the low kicks of Johnny Walker that might be the key in this fight. I'm excited for this one. Let me just have a quick look at the. So where are we? Well, takedown accuracy for Johnny Walker is 100%. Can't be many though, can they? Takedown defense, it's 57% for Johnny Walker, 86% for Magomed Ankalaev. Ankalaev's got a really, really good power double. I could definitely see him utilizing that against Johnny Walker. But Walker's very, very good at maintaining his balance. He's got very good power on one leg. Think back to the Paul Craig fight where Paul Craig was on a single leg and he was just hitting him with powerful strikes on one leg. Lots of different areas where Johnny Walker can capitalize on Magomed Ankalaev. If Ankalaev is overreaching and you know, leaving himself open unnecessarily, closing Johnny Walker down very quickly, restricting as much space as he can, picking at him with that rear front kick to the body, and then trying to draw him onto that counter straight left or that check right hook. They're going to be the big keys for Magomed Ankalaev. And I think building behind that game and then potentially closing Johnny Walker down and binding his wrist against the fence like he was doing at the towards the conclusion of the last fight, I think that's going to be the smart thing. For Johnny Walker, it's about staying mobile, about trying to do as much damage to the legs of Ankalaev as he can, and then that would take away some of the mobility of Ankalaev and definitely take away some of the wrestling and well, certainly that power double ability if those legs are damaged. And then, of course, it's where Johnny Walker can find those moments in the fight to land the really meaningful shots. Can he force Ankalaev onto a flying knee? Will he be able to catch him with some of those hammer fists or the Travis Brown elbows to the side of the head, potentially creating a scramble and taking his back and finding that rear naked choke? I do expect to see more submissions out of Johnny Walker as his career progresses, because I feel like he's got the power to hurt people, and now the people around him to show him the smarts to go, grab that neck, grab that guillotine, grab that rear naked choke, you know, grab that position and finish with powerful strikes. Again, something else. We might see better positional grappling from Johnny Walker in this fight as well. Yeah, looking forward to it. Good to be back. Happy New Year, everybody. I'll see you next time. Oh, and before I forget, I've been promising it all the way through 2023. We are starting the live streams this year. So I will be with you live on Sunday evening for Aftermath to talk about these fights and whatever else you guys want to talk about. 7 p.m. UK time. I'll see you then.